lady woke up from a nap one day, and it just happened to be her birthday, and she was dreaming about this huge diamond ring. And so she called her husband, and she said, I don't really know, you know, what this is, what this dream was about, but said, I woke up, and the first thing that, you know, that came to my mind was about this ring, this huge diamond ring, and since it's my birthday, I just wanted to call and talk to you. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, tonight, you'll know what that dream's all about. So he went home that night, and he walked in the door, and he handed her a beautifully wrapped package. She opened it up, and it was a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. This is our goal. This is the only life that we're ever going to have an opportunity to live. This is what Jesus is all about. It's actually one life, it's actually our life. It's not a dress rehearsal. It's not a second chance. There are no do-overs in life. What we are given and what we do with it is what God has given us. It's our opportunity to breathe in and breathe out every day, to be thankful for the blessings that we have, although we do live in a broken world. A world, unfortunately, every day that we hear about bombings, we hear about suicide bombers and mass murders, we hear about genocide and lives being taken, but that's always across the ocean. But since we met last week, six fans were arrested at the Bengals game a little over a week ago, but six people were arrested at the Bengals game for violence. It's just a football game. In Mount Healthy, I heard about a shooting, double shooting in fact. A treasurer steals $802,000 from a church in Tri-County. Two people are hospitalized in Walnut Hill for a shooting. And if I'd have watched the news last night rather than the Cardinal football game, I'd have probably seen shooting somewhere else. All's not right in our world. And whether we live 9 years, and how timely this is, 90 as Eileen has, we get one chance at it, and it goes by quickly. I look back and, you know, on my life, and we can all look back and reflect and think, man, it just seems like yesterday. It just seemed like yesterday when Todd proposed. It just seems like yesterday that I came here. Time passes by. And we have such opportunity that we don't want to let it pass by. This is our one go at life. And that's why we need to think about living differently. And think about doing things different. It's not a message about talking good things at church. It's not a message about talking good things at work. But it's a message about changing our lives. Changing ourselves. We talked last week about a Jesus who was different. A Jesus who was just really different. No matter how hard we look at it, no matter how we look at it, we'd like to tame that Jesus that we read about. We'd like to change him. We'd like to make him look like us. Dressed on Sunday morning, in church, sitting here worshiping. That's who we'd like for him to be. We'd like to act like Jesus. But Jesus is Jesus. And we're not. He was a man who was radically different. And everywhere he went, he radically changed the world. And I believe he can radically change this community. I believe that. And that's kind of why the message is entitled, "You or We, or I or Me, Can Change My World." We talked last week about Jesus being a man who had nowhere to lay his head, looked like Ted Williams, the homeless guy in Columbus, hair unkempt, slept on the ground, and was just a different kind of individual, a different kind of person, totally. But he was a man that was free. He was a man that was wild in the things that he did. We looked at different pictures of Jesus. Solomon's Head of Christ is kind of our friend. And then Buddy Jesus from the movie Dogma, and how we really don't see him either way. And that's not who he was. We see Jesus as a powerful individual. We see Jesus who, when he spoke, and as Leroy led into the scripture today, he came down from the mountain and spoke. And we see people gathering around to listen. And we see people radically changing the world because of what he did. But I haven't got it all figured out. I probably never will. But I'm trying to find a few things out, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. So as we turn to this scripture in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, we look at what Jesus is saying. It's all about being different, being noticeably different because of who Jesus was and what our connection is with him. The first point I'd like for you to take a look at is, if I follow this Jesus who is radically different from the world, then I in turn am going to end up looking radically different. We won't be the same people. We won't be the same person. Jesus says that we're like salt, we're like light. Salt's something that is tasty. Otherwise, without it, food is bland. Salt changes the environment we're in. We change the environment that we're in. I always call Cindy, her mom, Betty, because every time her mom sits down to eat, she'll empty a half a salt shaker on whatever she's eating. Cindy's not that bad. But I'm thinking, there's a salty woman. Your mom. And salty in some respects is not good. But being something that seasons and flavors is. We can be like the light of the world if we want to be. We can be something different than darkness. Something that makes a better place for people and makes a better person for people to want to be around. And that's what it's all about. Have you ever been noticed for being different? I have. I've had several people say, you don't seem normal. Usually when I wear a bow tie. But I've had people come up to me and said, you just don't seem like somebody else. You're like, other people. And it's like, well, I appreciate that. I take that as a compliment. Because we are all unique. And I think it's a lot of us because I don't let a lot of stuff bother me like I used to. Some things just aren't important anymore. After Christmas, I went back and saw my brother and had an opportunity to spend some time with my two nieces and their families and my nephew and his wife, who I think it was last July we had the opportunity to do the marriage ball. And it was a great time, and I really enjoy it. But as soon as I walk in his house, I feel like, man, there needs to be a little salt shake in here. It's not the greatest environment to be in. I could tell you stories that would curl your toenails. And after a while, maybe about 3 hours, I'll call Cindy and say, "Can I come home?" And then I feel bad. Because I'm there for a purpose and I'm there for a reason. I don't think it's just to visit my brother. I don't think it's just to visit his wife. But I have to ask myself after I've been there and I leave, like, I'm glad to get home, but there was a purpose. There was a purpose for the light to shine there. There was a purpose for the salt to be shaken there, and hopefully at some point. And I'd some days see a green light, and some days I see a yellow light, and the other 363 days of the year, I see a red light. Not what you want to see. So keep him in your prayer. But I'm not about beating myself up about feeling bad when I leave. The second point that Jesus made is that he said to us, change, move on, follow me. Too many people are living in the past. We can't change that. We can change the future. And so that's what I did. I started thinking about things. I'll have the radio on, listening to Southern Gospel or something on Sirius Radio, driving around, and I think a lot of things. And a lot of times in life, we have these grandiose dreams of doing really huge, big things for God. But you know what God's looking for? Is for us to take and do something with that small opportunity that he gives. We're not all going to be Billy Grahams. We're not all going to be Joel Osteen and all the rest of those guys that my mind just goes blank now. We're not all going to be that. I'm not. I don't intend to be. And I'm satisfied in my own skin. I'm satisfied where I'm at. But I ask myself, what do I do with those opportunities? How do I go about making changes when I see things like that? How different would our life be if we lived it upside down? If we took a totally different approach to what we do? What about if I went into 2016 thinking, man, if I live like Jesus, and I'm not saying sleep on the ground and don't comb your hair and grow a beard. I'm not saying that. But if I live the radical life that Jesus lived by walking up to someone, and I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that if a person has a problem and you walk up to them, God will tell you. He will let you know that you need to pray for that person for something. There's something in their lives that they're hurting about. And the thing that I've learned is he wants you to do it right then. I know there's been a lot of times I've said, Helen, I'll pray for you and go on and forget about it. And so if I see something on Facebook at that time, I'll say a prayer right then. Sometimes I'll write one on there. I know Greg does the same thing. That's where I learned it. But he wants us to be radically different. And we're radically different because his spirit lives in us. His spirit has changed us. And so my desire this year, and I did not say resolution, because I don't make them things. My desire this year is when I need and sense a need in someone's life, it's going to be taken care of right at that point. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to do things different. He said if a salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? What good's a light put under a basket? What good and what are we saving ourselves for, I guess, is a question that we can ask ourselves. What if you're salt but not salty? We're all salt of the earth if we're a Christian. But if we don't do anything with it, not salty. What about if we're not changing anything in our world? Are we salt and light? If we're not different in any way, then what's the point? Our light's under a basket. We've encountered Jesus who has caused us to change. He caused crowds of people to change when he spoke, when he touched them. Think about the times that he ate with them, the people that he ate with. There's more times recorded in the Bible he ate with sinners than it is when he ate with Christians. And there's a reason for that. And what he did is he turned their lives literally upside down when he had an opportunity to. And I'm going to share three things with you, and I want to preface this by saying that I think Satan keeps us from showing Jesus for these three reasons. Three reasons. The first one, we're tired. I think so much of our behavior is related to fatigue. I'll be honest with you, I get tired some nights at 7 o'clock. I really do. And there's still things to do. I'll be tired today at 1 o'clock. I'm not tired right now, but I will be then. I walk out of here on Sunday morning, I'll say, I'm just exhausted. And I am. And I'm not sure why we think we have to go so fast. And we have to do so much. We have to have so much information. I saw the other day on something in the news, I think it was, Cindy and I were watching the news, and it was talking about between computers, laptops, iPhones and Android phones and all the other electronic devices that we have, people are going to suffer from macular degeneration. Well, I'm not accepting that, personally. And I would encourage you not to accept it either, because you get that stuff because we accept it. And we can be different. And I think that's what Jesus is saying when you live that life upside down. We all want to do the right thing. We all want to say the right things to our spouses. We all want to live the right life. We all want to do the right things. But sometimes we're tired. But there is a solution to that. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest." So if we're tired, then that's what we need to do. If we're tired, one thing. But if we're rested, we're living an upside down life. The second thing is that I think some people don't do anything because they're hurting. Somebody said something to us 47 years ago, and I'm still upset about it. There are people like that. 47 years is a long time to carry something. Get over it and move on. I realize too often I react to things rather than respond to them. I used to tell people that worked for me, you got two ways. And if I get a complaint call, I bring them in and talk to them. And I said, okay, you reacted to them. You need to respond to them. Because you know more about the situation they're in than they do. Because this might be the first time anything ever happened to them. And I would tell them, show some grace. Show some, what's that? Show some kindness. You know, that's what grace is. That's what God expects us to do. Everything that he did was for a purpose. The first thing that Jesus did, it was interesting when he was up in the mountain, and he came one of the other times up in the mountain. He came off of a mountain. The first place he went to was Capernaum. And when he went to Capernaum, even though I'm sure he was tired, I'm sure he was hurting, and people had said, a lot of things about him. This conversation ensued. He said, a centurion came to him asking him, Lord, help. He said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Tired, worn out, teaching all day, criticized, people complaining about him, hair messed up, beard tangled and mangled, eating honey all day. And he said, shall I come and heal him? What do we do with hurting people? We cure them. That's what we do. We cure them. Henry Nouwen referred to Jesus as the wounded healer. What he meant was Jesus was wounded. But you know what he did? He healed. He was the wounded healer. In fact, because we're wounded, we can be the salt and light in somebody's life. Before I came here, when I was on staff at another church, and we did a lot of recovery groups, and one of the requirements was, that's a requirement? But you had to have been through that before you could lead a group. We do not want someone sober leading an AA group. I have no idea what they've been through. I could not tell you what that's like. But I can tell you what divorce is like. I can tell you what loss of a child is like. That I could do. So we're all gifted here, but we're all hurting. But God heals hurts. Because he healed Jesus, who became a wounded healer. And the third thing, and the final thing, is sometimes I think people are afraid. We're not really certain from, you know, what it takes to be salt and light and what is expected of us. So we're hesitant, we're afraid. Like I said today with Jim and Wes, you know, I'm scared to talk to people. You know, I don't have, you know, I'm just not good at that stuff, so that's a lie. But there are some things that we have fears about. And it's different things for different people. I don't know how many times Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In fact, the scriptures even said to a poor person, he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Revelation said he's made us kings and princes in this world. Not the next world, but this world. He said to him, he said, you're worried about what you're going to eat. You're worried about what you're going to wear. And I've given you the kingdom. I've given you everything. Jesus told the crowd that blessed are those who feel poor in spirit. Meaning those who feel they just don't have enough to be God followers. That's what poor in spirit people are. They don't think they're good enough. He said, blessed are those who are grieving and wounded. Blessed are those who hunger for what I'm saying. Then Jesus turns the world around and turns the world upside down when he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for it but to be thrown out and trampled? You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We can spend our entire lives thinking about changing ourselves. We can think about eating right, and we can think about exercising, and we can think about saving money. We can do everything we want in the world to think about saving ourselves and changing ourselves. But the most important thing that we'll ever think about is what Jesus says to us. How will you change in order to change your world? What changes will we make? What changes can I make to impact the world around me? So, we talked about this meeting on January 30th. And I know many of you are sports enthusiasts, as I am, have seen this ESP thing, E60, and E60 or E30, 3030 and E60. Well, we're looking at outside the lines, outside the box, 1:30. We do so many things in here that are so good. So good. I jotted down a couple here. We have great music. We have great people that are willing to serve, willing to do things. A great worship atmosphere. We have people. I don't normally pick on people, but I called Leroy this week and I said, Leroy, we want to do a little thing, you know, for the service today. Would you take care of the joys and concerns? He said, I'll be happy to. And that spirit emulates throughout this whole body. I got an email this week about from someone that said, I'm not going to be able to be there the 30th. And they wanted to be. And I wrote back and I said, we're going to have a follow-up meeting or two, and we'll keep you in tune, in touch with everything that's going on. But a church can become too much inward focused, and I'm not saying that we are, because we do so much with the Heifer Fund. We do so much with Operation Magi. We got a sharing closet. We do a food pantry. And we help a lot of people in a lot of ways. But I think we need to take a look at what can we do to get out of the box? What can we do to get, for us ESPN fans, outside the lines? What can we do different? And so when when we talk about this meeting on the 30th of January, it is literally an outside the box thinking. What are our possibilities? What can I do in it? You may think I can't do anything. You got a phone? You can do something. You got a mind? You can pray. If you can't get out. But we need to get involved in this community. Not for my sake, for the kingdom's sake. And for the people that need to be touched. Some way, somehow. And we may be the only ones that can do it. And I'll just give you an example. And then I'm going to sit down. We have a lot of people that have asked for prayer and want us to pray for them. But what God said and what Jesus said was, if you take that grain of mustard seed that you have in your heart and you bring it to me, that's all I ask. And so, when someone says, I want you to pray for me, that's a grain of mustard seed. And what we need to do is do that. But I'll tell you, you can call me anytime. And I'll go see them. I don't care who they are. Because the world doesn't need to hurt when we have a healer.